punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. And what a beautiful day it is. Let's check out what's happening around our area as far as temperatures. Looks like 63 at Slapouts, 64 at Beaver, 60 at Putnam. I knew that's where that is. That's home of B&L Red Angus. 63 at Bessie, 62 at Altas. The warmest spot in the state of Oklahoma is Mangum, Oklahoma. 65 degrees, 63 at Shamrock, and 62 at Perryton, Texas. Anyway, it's got a beautiful day in store. The winds are picking up finally. They're out of south southeast at 12 miles an hour. Humidity's 39. We have wind gusts up to 19. And man, the percentages on our rains coming in to tomorrow night are looking better and better, and also Friday. So anyway, 80% chance now for the southwestern part of Oklahoma tomorrow night, 60% Friday. I'll have your long ranger forecast coming up for the northwestern part of the state and the southwestern part coming up, provided to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. There's a lot going on in Oklahoma right now. Actually, the debate between Joy and Governor Stitt is happening right now at Lawton. If you're down in that area, you still got time to go down there and catch part of it. It's at the Comanche Fairgrounds. And I believe it is from 11:30 to 1 o'clock. So you still got time. If you hurry, get in there. Maybe they'll answer. If you got a question for them, be good. But there's, there's just so much going on that I don't even know where to start. But let's just start with some of the market. How about that? Something that I might not mess up. December corn, 684. Everything's kind of steady. There's nothing major going on except for soybean meal. And March corn is 690. May corn, 690. Soybeans for November, 1386. January, 1396. Next March, 1405. Soybean meal. December is, come on, computer, quit it. Hey, and let's see, there we go. December is 407.70 a short ton. January is 401.90. March is 394.80. And soybean oil for December, 73.58. January is 70.63. And March is 67.77. Hard red winter wheat, December, $9.37. March is the same at 9.37. Ease down here and see what cotton's doing. The first two letters are the same. I got it halfway right. Anyway, December, it's actually in the green a little bit today. It's back up to 78 cents a pound. And then March is 77 cents a pound. Cash grain prices happening at the elevator right now. It is wheat is 888, corn 785, and soybeans are 1361. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading as speculative investors who were short on the market or bet on lower prices buy back contracts and book profits after prices dropped to the lowest level in a month yesterday. Prices have been down in Chicago as rain is expected in some drought-affected areas of the United States and South America. Investors instead may focus a little bit on increasing tensions between you-know-who, Ukraine and Russia, that could affect shipments and investigation into what may be a mine in the corridor where ships that go where they leave the Ukrainian ports. The Ukrainian officials have accused Russia of intentionally delaying more than 165 ships making their way to ports along the Black Sea to transport grain from the war-torn area. President of Ukraine has accused Moscow of unnecessarily extending inspection times for vessels. Ships were required to be inspected under the so-called Black Sea Grain Initiative, a deal brokered by the United Nations and Turkey that allows vessels hauling agriculture supplies to leave Ukrainian ports. Before this morning, wheat prices were falling on forecasts for better weather in parts of the winter wheat country in the United States. Rains later this week are expected in parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Rains in the southern areas are improving moisture with more improvements later this week. Dryness continues in central and northern areas. Rain also fallen in parts of Brazil and will continue in central and southern regions tomorrow throughout the weekend. Precipitation next week likely will improve soil moisture in the northern growing areas of Brazil. Over in Europe, meanwhile, though, limited rainfall in central and southern growing regions through next week will likely cause water shortages to expand. Wheat futures for December delivery rose 4 pennies to 8.38 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. In Kansas City, futures gained 3¾ cents to $9.38 plus a quarter a bushel. Corn for December delivery was up a penny and a quarter to 6.87 and a half a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery gained 12 cents to $14.04 a bushel. Soy meal rose 330 to 418.90 a short ton, while soybean oil added 0.47 cents to 72.75. All right, the La Nina. The La Nina that's been a thorn in farmers and ranchers' side for about, 2 years now? A La Nina weather system featuring warm waters in the South Atlantic and cooler waters in the South Pacific is expected to continue, according to the Commodity Weather Group that said that in its Ag Seasonal Outlook report. It's not what we wanted to hear, but it's here. Precipitation in the United States Southern Plain likely will remain limited in November, resulting in poor establishment of hard red winter wheat that grows in that region. La Nina signals continue to keep plains dry but improve river flow in the Ohio and lower Mississippi basins. Dry weather patterns will remain for northern and eastern Argentina, so too far south Brazil for another year, though it's not expected to be as dry as it was in Paraguay a year ago. They also said it's the second most likely scenario that severe dryness may occur in parts of Argentina, resulting in corn and soybean losses. Dry weather may also reach into central and southern Brazil, resulting in patchy dryness. Well, here's our weather forecast for most of the U.S. Severe weather is expected in parts of the southern plains tomorrow, with large hail being the threat, according to the National Weather Service. These storms will mainly hit southwestern Oklahoma and western North Texas. Showers will give way to dry weather throughout the weekend into early next week. The potential exists for elevated fire conditions to increase in coverage across southwest Kansas this weekend, Monday and Tuesday. The fire risk potential will range from elevated to near critical. Further east into northern Indiana, winds will gust up to 35 miles an hour, which that's kind of a normal day around here. Gust up to 40 miles an hour are forecast closer to Lake Michigan. So, sounds like our weather might get a little rowdy tomorrow. Is that what you took from that?
Yeah.
You did? All right, cool. Well, one of my favorite persons in the world, especially in Beckham County, just showed up. And anyway, she, Cassandra Usher, did I say that right? Or is
no.
it Usher?
Usher. Usher.
Golly, man.
One of these days you'll get it.
I guess. Anyway, I got the right. And, but anyway, from the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District over here at Sayre, they had a big event last week. And when we get back from this first break, Cassandra Usher and I will talk about it. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 24th. 1,978 head were sold. 13 head of steers at 430 brought 207. 5 at 509 brought 184. 16 at 529 brought 181. 14 at 565 brought 175. 5 at 579 brought 170. 3 at 667 brought 144. 4 at 793 brought 171. 13 head of heifers at 438 brought 176. 9 at 507 brought 157. 3 at 570 brought 145. 4 at 646 brought 153. 3 at 665 brought 167. 18 at 669 brought 166.50. 4 at 1023 brought 130. Butcher cows were 7 to 80. Butcher bulls brought 35 to 108. Bred cows were 900 to 1375. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
New unbelievable cellular plans. Upgrade to an unlimited plan today and join the Pioneer Cellular family. Only pay for what you need and get more of what you want. Choose your unlimited plan to mix, match, and save based on you and your family. With the new Pioneer Cellular plans and enhanced full T service, you can now use voice and data at the same time. If your service hasn't been updated yet, stop by an office today or call 1-800-641-2732 for more information. Some restrictions apply.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
According to our Gabe Mesonet Center here, it's 63.1 degrees in the Elk City studio, 40% humidity, and the winds are out of the south at 6 miles an hour. The big skyscrapers here in the Elk City are, it's a little higher out in the country, as we all know. But today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. If you're watching on Facebook, see my green hat I got on. It says Taylor Ranch on it. Well, there's a reason he pays me to do this, but I love talking about stuff that I believe in. So anyway, an excellent steak leaves a lasting impression. A steak that is full of flavor, has juiciness, is tender, is an eating experience so good it still can be remembered years later. Whether you would like to relive the mouth-watering event or experience it for the first time, Taylor Ranch can help you with that. They work every day to create that tremendous eating experience by selecting genetics that enhance the marbling, ribeye, and tenderness of every calf. They develop every animal as if it was going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch. Their beef is available in quarters, halves, or whole. Third-party verified, all natural and hormone-free, also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. And I ain't gonna lie to you, I had some Taylor Ranch hamburger meat last night. Made some taco, put some fajita seasoning in it, made me some tacos, made my wife some tacos, a little sour cream, a little cheese. Guess what? I had 2 60-pound mutts sitting in front of my chair staring at me. Can we have some too, Daddy? But they didn't get any. So anyway, it was great. The hamburger meat's great, cooks great, smells good. And even on leftovers, a couple days later, it heats up good. You bought some beef for me.
Yes, I
How
did.
Was it?
Amazing.
Don't lie. Don't
just
cut you on the radio. It's good stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, what a lot of people don't understand is technology has improved cattle, the meat on cattle, so much in the last 10 to 15 years where they can test the trades of, you know, like Jimmy, you know, he does DNA testing on his heifers when they're young. And when they get ready to breed, they can put the right bull with it, with those trades, where the marbling, the ribeyes are good, milk production. It's come a long ways. There is no reason why people can't have good beef today. And we have some of the best beef in the world grown right here in Western Oklahoma with all these people that produce beef. You know, and Taylor Ranch is one of the best ones around. There's a lot of best ones around, but anyway, it's amazing. I'd never thought, you don't want to buy that bull. The marbling ain't no good. I said, okay. So anyway, but it's good. But anyway, Cassandra Osher, thanks for joining me. And I'm just going to call her Cassandra from now on so you guys know who I'm talking about. But anyway, you're with the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District out of the NRCS office over at SARE. And you guys had a big shenanigan deal last week, didn't you?
Yes, we did. We hosted the area fifth graders for our outdoor classroom event. The first day was very, very cold. The second day actually turned out really nice, though.
And isn't that what happened last year?
Yo, it was so windy last year and cold.
Yeah, it was. I went out there and helped one day with Marcus on the habitat deal. And I was like, the poor kids were dressed up like little Eskimos.
Mm-hmm. Some brought blankets, some had sleeping bags, and there are some kids in shorts.
Yeah. it's a tough world out there for the kids. Well, what all schools participated?
So we had Sayre, Hammond, Cheyenne, Sweetwater, Merritt, Canute, and local homeschool groups, because there's a couple in the area, so I want to make sure to include them in the event.
They were there last year, if I remember right.
Yep. They were. So a good group.
Do you know how many kids went through there?
We had, it was over 200, probably close to 250.
That was enough, wasn't it?
Yes. We went through a lot of hot dogs, a lot of hot dog buns. Went through a lot of chili and cheese.
Oh.
Chips and cookies, man, they're gone.
They're gone. You had to have donations to help with this. Who all helped donate on this deal?
Yeah, so different banks in Elk City and Sayre always donated water for us. So like Interbank, First National, and Great Plains. I make my rounds asking for donations every year. Yep,
right.
They're very generous with donating bottled water for us. And then Bar S always donates the hot dogs.
Right.
So very, very thankful for that. And then Reeves Insurance always gives us a monetary donation to go towards that every year.
Right. So it was good.
Yeah.
And you sent me pictures last week while it was going on. I had too much going on with wheat sowing going on, and I really wanted to go out there. And you had a lot of people out there helping with this. How many different classes were they?
We had 9 different stations. Two stations that was done by the same person. So we shook things up a little bit this year and had everybody attend the first station first and then broke off into the individual stations. And the first station was the rainfall simulator that OCC, the Oklahoma Conservation Commission, has.
What is that? I've seen it. What is it?
So it basically has the different bins of differently managed ground. So they'll have conventional tillage ground. They'll have no-till. They'll have one like no-till with cover crops, or how a ground is grazed. Like if they have the cattle graze a lot versus like giving it a rest period. They have different plots. I think there's like five little bins that they can have different different soil and management practices in. And then they have the rain that they simulate, and they can change that if it's like a quarter inch rain, a 1 inch rain, have that fall down on those plots. And then they have these buckets. One is underneath, and then one is out front. There's a chute, so it measures how much water is actually infiltrating that ground, and then how much water is running off. And it's really cool, like, especially with the kids.
Oh, it sounds cool.
Because when they turn the water on and they see all the runoff, especially, like, from the conventional tillage and all that muddy water, and it's going into the bucket, and if they have the rain up too much, then the water, like, kind of overshot the chute and didn't go in the bucket. And all the kids are like, ooh, ah, like, making all these cool noises. I'm like, it has their attention.
Did you guys have that set up at the Dust Bowl days? But
not at the Dust Bowl days. We had the soil health tunnel at the Dust Bowl days.
This sounds like something you ought to have set up next year at the Dust Bowl day.
Yes, we've talked about it. I don't know if that'll happen or not.
And we need farmers. Mm-hmm. And ranchers to come by and check it out.
Oh, yeah. Like, we've had it on display. Like, Jimmy had a field day. It was last July, I believe.
Mr. Emmons?
Yeah. No, Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, Jimmy Emmons was there, too.
Okay.
But we had it on display there as well. Like, it's a really good tool. There's only one in the state. The soil health team from OCC, like, goes around all over the state. So it's in high demand. But it's a great tool because it's visual. You get it instantly. You don't even have to have anyone explain what's going on. Like, you get it. Right. You can see how much rain is actually going through the soil. And, like, there's some buckets, there's not even a quarter inch of a rain.
Well, Jimmy Emmons goes all over the United States teaching this.
Mm-hmm.
And some people get it, like you said, and some people don't, because some people don't want to change. And some people have soil that probably they don't need to change. But for the most part, you know, erosion, because you was looking at erosion on the, you know, but ground has to be tilled every now and then. But I'm a firm believer in no-till and cover crops. So I don't want to act biased here and say, hey, the rest of you guys need to get over and check this out.
Yeah.
Well, I am, really. It'll wake you up if you watch that.
Oh, yeah. And it's just, it's a good tool to teach kids. Like, because growing up, I never learned about anything with soil. Like, it wasn't until college that I really learned stuff about soil.
Well, yeah. When I was growing up, that terrace catches that water and it slows the erosion down. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you knew.
Yeah, it's a complex world underneath the ground.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, all right, let's get off of that and move on.
Move on, yep. So, the Forest Service showed up. They usually come every year. Todd Stewart, he does the skins and skulls, and that's a really cool presentation. The kids always love that because they can actually touch things, all kinds of different animals, skins and skulls. And then this year we had Adam Russell come out, and he did a talk on archaeology. So looking at, like, what kind of tools that he uses for being an archaeologist, and then also, like, what's considered an artifact. And we had a really interesting discussion on that, because something that I think that's, like, 50 years or older is considered an artifact. And even, like, a pop can that's 50 years old is, like, an artifact. I'm like, well, that's interesting.
Yeah, because they had a tab on there. You know,
yes.
Pop-a-top.
Yeah, I was like, okay, some stuff is an artifact, but maybe not considered trash.
Yeah.
And from OSU Extension, from the city, we had Kima. She was actually talking about recycling. That's something that the board wanted to include this year, because if you drive around Elk City anywhere, like near, like, the high school or Walmart, you see trash everywhere. And Jimmy Smith has, you know, fields out by the high school, and he's always having to clean up trash.
Oh, I watched his dad do it for years.
Oh, yeah. There's no good way around it. But that affects his harvest. And if you get a bunch of plastic in your cotton bales, like, that dings them, and it can destroy equipment. And also, like, at Walmart, you just see so much trash out there. So we just kind of want to talk about recycling and get that back into the kids' minds. You know, pick up trash when you see it.
Him and his dad were pretty brilliant on how they slowed it down by leaving, when they shred cotton stalks, they leave three or four rows there along the black tops, and then those cotton stalks were stopping the trash from going on out. Most of it.
Yeah, you see a lot right in those first few rows. Yeah.
And so they come there. It made it easier to pick up.
Yes.
So
get your exercise, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We had Greg Hartman. He was talking about farm safety, so he had a little farm grain cart out there to show, like, you know, if you get in there, you can possibly die from that grain going down. And that's something, like, back home, I knew a kid that died in a grain silo, not a grain bin, or a cart, but in a silo. So that's something that a lot of kids, if they don't have experience around farm machinery, like, that they would never think about it.
I just seen one on Facebook promoting safety last night. There was a older kid that just come home from college to help with harvest up there in Iowa, and something happened. He slipped down in the hopper truck, the semi-trailer they was doing, and then nobody knew it, and they opened up the he couldn't get out of there quick enough, and they opened up the overhead bin, just covered him up, suffocated. Oh, so yeah, it's safety this time of the year. We got peanut harvest, cotton harvest going on. It's time to think safety.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how old you are either.
Yep.
And then we had Creston out of our office with NRCS. We put together a new presentation that we'd like to continue doing. It's like the evolution of conservation tillage. And we had all kinds of different pieces of equipment out there. So we did a quick putting all this together and trying to get that equipment. But we had Michael Poole had donated a small old disc. And our board member Mark DeLeon loaned us an old style planter. That was really cool to see. And then
what
Jimmy,
a better person to do it than Kristen.
Right? He just fits the farmer depiction. Like, it was great. And then Jimmy Smith, he donated. He had a one-bottom moldboard plow, a cultivator, and then he brought his really big Great Plains planter. It's not a no-till planter, but none of our drills were available. Like, it's been a super busy period with renting those out. But the kids absolutely loved playing on that, and the equipment, getting to touch it and just really get up and close and personal. So that was really, really, really neat. We want to bring more attention to the history of conservation and get that information out there to the kids. I think by far the favorite station was Blue Thumb. Candace Miller came out and she talked about aquatic life. So she had bins where she had already gone out to our little wetlands complex and found bugs for them. So they're all gathered around these little trays, and they had their spoons looking for different things, and found all kinds of different little creatures, like dragonfly larvae and damselfly larvae. And then there's a leech that they got to check out, and there's microscopes. And the kids, like every single group, I think that was by far one of their favorite stations.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yes, absolutely. And then we also had Kate from the Upper Washita Battlefield. So she's been going over the artifacts from the Cheyenne Tribe and the 7th U.S. Cavalry. So that's something, like, they've got a traveling trunk. So I know a lot of kids in the area have seen that before. And then she also did a presentation on the bats of Oklahoma. So that was really, really neat, too, because bats are very important. And I was surprised, like, she asked the kids, like, if the bats were pollinators, protectors, or they spread seeds.
What was the answer?
So, well, there's different things. Like, she held up different things, like different fruits or veggies, like a tomato, and they protect tomatoes because they eat the insects that would eat on the tomatoes. So I was surprised, like, one group that I sat in on her presentation, they got almost all of them right. I was like, dang, I mean, there's some that I wasn't quite sure about.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I asked.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Because our place isn't too far from the Jester Caves down there at Will.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And I've seen, I only watch Lacey, so anyway, I'm sure the rest of the meteorologists, sometimes they'll show the bat flights out of Jester.
Oh, that's
Jester
so cool.
Cave. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, I know there's some stat out there about, like, how many mosquitoes they eat, and I was like, if anything eats mosquitoes, I'm a fan.
There's not enough bats in there. So, well, let's take a quick break, and we'll get back. We'll finish up on this, and you can also update us on what's going on with the drought deal.
Sure.
And all right, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Sugar Creek Casino presents. They have the grits plus the glamour.
Go away, no way to mean it.
Lori Morgan and Pam Tillis together live at Sugar Creek Casino's Event Center Saturday, November 12th.
Maybe it was never.
Lori Morgan and Pam Tillis at Sugar Creek Casino. Get your tickets by phone, Players Club, or online at SugarCreekCasino.com.
Holiday hack? Get your shopping done early so you can enjoy the season stress-free. I just went to Kohl's and got $10 off because I spent over $50. An extra 20% off on top of that, plus 25% off matching jammies, sweaters for under $24, and 20% off Legos. More gifts and more savings? Yes, please. Select styles. Offers end October 30th. LEGO coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
When somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle, no matter where it may be. If you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. Here's your forecast for, let's see if it works today. It does. Yesterday it went era. Anyway, our National Weather Service, oh, it almost did it again. National Weather Service long range forecast for northwestern Oklahoma, Oklahoma Panhandle, southern Kansas, and some northeastern Texas Panhandle. 63 currently. The winds are out of the southeast at 17 miles an hour. Humidity is 34%. Today, sunny, high 68. Tomorrow, 67. Tomorrow evening, 20% chance of thunderstorms. Tomorrow night, 60% chance of storms. Friday, 30% chance of rain, high 58. It's going to chilly up a little bit, 38 for low. I had frost at my house this morning. It wasn't a freeze, but it was a frost. And Saturday, 62 for high, 38 for low Saturday night, and 67 for Sunday. So anyway, well, back to Miss Cassandra from the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District here in Beckham County. But your district's actually bigger in Beckham County, isn't it?
It used to be. It isn't anymore.
Why not? What happened?
They used to have an office in Sentinel, I believe.
Yeah.
And, oh, the boundaries changed a long time ago. I'm not sure why.
Okay.
Way before my time.
That's a long ways from Sayre to Sentinel.
Mm-hmm.
Not really. But anyway, all right, let's get back. We'll finish up on those classrooms.
So the last speaker, one of your favorites.
is my favorite.
Yeah, Marcus from Pheasants and Quail Forever Habitat. So They came last year and participated and talked about Habitat, and they added a different element this year. They have their fire truck out there.
I know. I heard.
So the kids absolutely loved that as well because they got to use the fire hose for a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's a little, whatever their coats are, their fire protectant coats and the helmet that they wear. There's always one kid that got to wear that as well. So that was very memorable for them.
Yeah, so. And then, because if I remember right, Marcus brought his new toy that Quail Forever bought him, that starts fires.
Oh, yes, I saw the kids passing that around, but yep. I don't think they actually started.
No, he's
fire.
Not going to. No, that's his baby. No, we probably a good thing. You don't keep kids firing. That's like a grenade launcher with phosphorus in it.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool. They can shoot it off down in canyons to start fires down in the bottom where the fires don't really get to.
That'll be very helpful.
Yeah, when we bought that for him, first thing he had to go play.
Oh, well, of course.
Because he's got a problem with fires. I'm sorry. But he's doing a great job up there. If anybody wants to see what prescribed fires are good for, they need to go see Mr. Marcus because he's living proof of how well it improves the habitat around your place, whether it's private or public. So, anyway, no, he's pretty good. And so you guys had that's quite a bit. Does anybody else in the state do this?
There's a couple other facilities throughout the state. I don't know how many.
Okay.
Like Upper Ouachita has theirs. They have theirs for their third graders, though, and they have it on Forest Service property. So, like, we're unique in the fact that we actually own the property that we hosted at, which is one of our watershed dam properties.
Right.
So I don't know. I think that's a pretty unique situation.
Right.
Well,
it's pretty cool.
It is.
If anybody's never seen it, it's, what is it, 2 miles north?
A mile
north of the school?
Yeah, it's 1090.
Yeah,
East 1090.
Yeah, and then back east of the high school, and then back east and on the north side of the road.
Yep.
And it's a really neat project.
Oh, it is. It is really cool. And it's something like, so I brought a little bit of information. It was first started in 1995 by the district, the North Fork Red River District Board. And then they built the building that's out there, I think it was 2000 or 2001.
Okay.
So they've added different things from when it first started. And there's three different, like, walking trails out there. So that is open to the public to walk out on those trails. We have a wetlands complex. There's, like, rangeland. There's wildlife habitat, the forestry and water quality, riparian and wooded habitat for wildlife. So there's different habitat types, and it was originally set up to provide youth with the knowledge and experience necessary to understand the importance of a healthy ecosystem. That's the vision that the board had for that center. So
has it changed?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. The only thing I would say I would add to that statement is that we do use it for adult education as well.
Right.
You know, like if we have field days, we'll go out there and use the building for meetings for the producers. So we'll have the field element, but we have like the in-class element as well.
Well, last year was the first year that I'd actually been out there. Mm-hmm. I drove by it a million times.
Yeah.
Never paid no attention.
Oh, yeah, blink and it's gone.
Yeah, it's blink and it's gone. But when you invited me out there last year, it's a really cool concept, and it's great to see the kids out there with their teachers and even the homeschool kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and because when I was there helping Marcus, the homeschool kids were actually very intrigued. I don't know why, but they participated a little more.
Yeah.
Because
that doesn't surprise me.
They probably got to get out of the house.
Well, there's some myths about homeschooling that, you know, like the most kids that I know that are homeschooled, they are very intelligent. Well, they know how to talk to adults.
Our Casey here, she's homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
And she's smarter than me and Aaron put together.
Yeah. Well, like, you...
Oh, he said, no.
You have to be more self-motivated, I think. And then you have the freedom to explore things that you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, when you have that passion, you really get into your subjects that you're studying.
And it's becoming more and more... there's more people being homeschooled.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then what they... Well, is there a reason why you guys only do fifth graders, or do you pick a grade by the year?
You know, I don't know why they decided on fifth graders. That's something that they've done before I came on. So I'm sure there was a reason.
Why?
But we can't do every grade. I mean, that's way too much. Like, it takes a lot of planning to put on that day.
It's got
to
be organized. You got to keep up with, what do you say, 250 kids?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not normal.
Next year, if Elk City participates, it's going to be more than that.
Yeah, because we already started planning to do our pollinator planting with some kids from Sayre, out there south of Sayre on some land that the city built. Quail Forever. We're going to have kids come out there, and it's not just going to be 4-H and FFA. It's going to be all the kids, certain grades, come out and do pollinators. Mm-hmm. And we're planning now, not next year.
Oh, yeah. You have to plan in advance for sure.
So it's all good. So how do teachers and schools get involved in participating in this one-time-a-year deal?
Well, usually I reach out to the schools and give them the dates that we're going to have the outdoor classroom, because it's usually in October. And it's usually in the later part of October, because Upper Ouachita does theirs at the beginning of October. So we don't want to have them too close to each other. So I usually send out letters to the area schools, and they'll let me know, like, if they're able to participate or not. And Eric wasn't able to participate this year because their fall break is different than everybody's.
Yes.
So that's kind of unfortunate. I'm kind of bummed that they didn't get to participate. But for teachers, like, there's other times of the year that if teachers want to use that facility, for if they want to have a science lesson out there and have like the actual physical property to talk about water quality or soil health or whatever they want to cover, they can contact me at the office and we can arrange that. That's something that's always available to teachers. Just talk to me, and if they want to have me bring in a couple speakers or like have some sort of other program like that, like, talk to me. We'll talk about what is possible and see if we can't make that work for them. And I really want to encourage teachers to be able to use that property. Cool. It's there for education purposes, so please reach out to me, even if it's like first grade or kindergarten and you just want to hike the trails and discover nature. Just go out there and let the kids just touch and feel and look and like do it like a scavenger
maybe
hunt.
You guys should do like OSU's doing. Why don't you bring some teachers out there and teach them?
Yeah. We could definitely do that.
Because we have that ag in the classroom for teachers. Mm-hmm. Travel all over Oklahoma.
Yes.
They've been out here twice since I started the show. And I think it'd be cool for teachers to come out there.
Yeah, and then we could showcase what it is that we have and what they could use it for.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they'll learn something, too. So anyway, well, I got a couple minutes left. And great job with organizing that.
Yeah.
And if the teachers or the schools want to get a hold of you,
just call me at the office, 580-928-3113, extension 3019.
Yeah, I almost had to memorize. Just push 3, it'll get you there.
Yeah, it's there. Just say Cassandra, someone will get you where you need to be.
Push 3 and it'll get you there, because they share an office with the NRCS here in Beckham County. And also, did you get a lot of participation in the drought relief deal?
Well, before I move on to that, real quick, if any businesses want to help out with the outdoor classroom, become involved, become a sponsor, make a donation, they can also reach out to me. I am starting to plan for next year. So,
oh, cool. Yeah.
Just a little tidbit.
Yeah, the banks ought to. They're big into ag.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's a great opportunity. And I look at it as a way for the community to be involved as well. It's a more of a community effort as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's their kids that are coming. So it's a great way for them to be like, hey, yeah, we helped out with that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but yes, the emergency drought cost share program. Oh, boy. I've been busy. A lot of phone calls, a lot of people coming in. And for us, like a normal cost share program, we'll get like 10, 12 applications. And I think I'm at 20 already. And
that's good.
It is good. We're not going to be able to fund everybody, though, unless they give us more money.
Yeah.
So
I had Lacey on from Arnett.
Yes, I heard.
And it's not Lacey Swope or Lowry. It's Lacey Landers. Is that right? Yeah. Got it right. See, her name's easier to say than yours. Anyway, but she had on the day she came on, they gave more money.
Yes. Yeah. They came out with some different guidelines, too, like with if you're doing a water tap, it's retroactive to June 11th, I believe.
That'll give them time to see if they can get tapped in.
Yeah, so it's, or if they already started or already completed it, they can apply to get reimbursed for it. So it's a little bit different. But yeah, I mean, who knows what else is going to happen going forward with the program. I mean, I'm sure they'll probably throw more money at it. So I'd encourage people to continue applying. Our deadline is November 1st, so it's coming up.
Tuesday. Tuesday.
So if you don't apply, you have no chance.
And they don't have any excuses of not applying because most everybody's been rained out for a few days.
Yep.
And so get up there and get applied because it's pretty, basically almost identical program county by county.
Pretty identical.
Yeah, but it's but you call your own county.
Yes.
Don't call her if you live in Greer County or Roger Mills, but it's the base is the same.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah. And it's just something that keep in mind, it's an emergency.
Right.
So we do have our regular cross share program that'll come out early next year timeframe. So, like, if you still want a water well, like, if you're planning to have cattle, like, if it's not an emergency, I would say maybe wait for the regular cost share because we're trying to address the emergency situations right now.
And there's some guys out there hurting. I mean, we got some rain over the weekend. My ponds are still dry.
Yeah. Oh, I don't doubt
it. Well, they got a mud hole in them, but they'll be dry in no time. So, well, Cassandra Usher, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.
She's
thanks
with
for
the
opportunity.
North Fork of the Red River Conservation District here, basically in Beckham County. And the river starts out in Texas. So anyway, I know where it starts. Anyway, you've got something going on as far as ag in the classroom, needing to use their facilities, call her. Or you got till November 1st to sign up for the emergency drought deal if you haven't already.
So
just because they don't have the money doesn't mean you don't need to sign up because something else might come up and you'll already be on the list, right?
Yep.
First come, first serve?
There's a ranking in this place.
All right. I didn't say that out loud on the radio. Anyway, we'll be right back with your thank you for coming in, and we'll be right back with your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. First, Jerry Nine.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodford Livestock Auction. First sale this Thursday, October 27th. We're expecting 3,000 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Woodford, get 50 calves of 5, by-side 40 calves, 5 to 7. Shamrock, Texas, 177 steers, never to 5 off the cow. By-side 80 steers, never short wings, 300 pounds to 450. Claremore, Texas, Oklahoma, 100 steers, never to 5 off the cow. Laverne, 52 steers, 7.5 to 9. Georgia, off the ranch, 63 steers, never 6.5 to 8.5. Albany, Texas, 84 steers, never 6 to 7.5. And Winoka, 50 steers at 9. Tuesday, we sold 903 cows, bulls, and calves. Steady market on the killing cows with a very strong demand on the young bred cows and mares. Again, expecting 3,000 cattle, we will start the auction at 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry Nine, and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
This is Staples.
So rumor has it that Staples has everything I need to ship.
That's not a rumor. We have all the shipping supplies and services you need.
Boxes?
Yep.
Mailers?
Yep.
And I can actually ship there, right?
We have UPS right here in store.
Huh. What will Staples think of next?
Right?
No, seriously, I'm asking, what will they think of next?
Staples has all your shipping supplies and UPS service in store. And right now, get 25% off UPS Express shipping services. Staples, the best kept secret in shipping. Ends 12/31. Valid only in Staples U.S. stores.
Don't miss Six Flags Fright Fest presented by Snickers. Enjoy daytime thrills for your little monsters like trick-or-treating and Kids Boo Fest. But when the sun goes down, that's when the thrills turn into chills. Thrills by day, fright by night. At the biggest, scariest Six Flags Fright Fest ever. Get Fright Fest and many new events in 2022 and 2023 for as low as $6.99 a month. See details at sixflags.com.
We've all heard the expression, practice makes perfect. But at Kumon Learning Centers, we believe practice makes possibilities. Imagine what your child could achieve with math and reading mastery at an early age. No one achieves greatness by accident. They practice. Right now, enjoy free registration and save up to $50 at Kumon, where practice makes possibilities. Call 1-800-ABC-MATH to book an orientation today.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 21st. 2,227 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 469 brought 185. 7 at 506 brought 173. 11 at 538 brought 159.50. 7 at 589 brought 145. 3 at 667 brought 137. 13 at 678 brought 172.50. 10 at 821 brought 155. 12 head of heifers at 394 brought 176. 6 at 428 brought 167. 10 at 476 brought 164, 4 at 499 brought 155, 13 at 541 brought 159.50, 4 at 573 brought 143, 5 at 647 brought 145.50. Butcher cows were 10 to 78.50, butcher bulls brought 54 to 107, bred cows were 600 to 1325, pairs brought 850 to 1335. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
America's beef producers have the best product in the world. From a backyard barbecue to a gourmet dinner at a four-star restaurant, if American beef is on the menu, you're in for some good eating. Our local beef producers raise a great product. As a financial institution, we're proud to be a part of it. Stop by and see us. Let's talk. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, let's see what's happening out here with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Currently in Elk City Mezzanet Center, 66 degrees, humidity's 39, the winds are out of the southeast at 14 miles an hour, wind gust up to 17. I don't know, it might be drying enough. I can go bale some peanut hay this afternoon. You never know in that saying. Got to go look at it, though. Today, 66, winds will be gusting up to 25 later on this afternoon, and it will be breezy tonight also. 67, mostly cloudy tomorrow. Tomorrow night, 80% chance of rain, showers, and thunderstorms likely. 46 for a low. Friday, 60% chance of rain, showers, and thunderstorms. 56 for a high. Saturday, 61. Sunday, 66, mostly sunny. So it looks like we got a really good shot of rain tomorrow night. So everybody, cross your fingers and say a little prayer that we get some more rain. I know we got some crops that need out, but we are way behind on moisture, and we need it bad. Anyway, there's all kinds of things going on, but I need to go over a couple things with you guys real quick. Coming up tomorrow, is that right? Yes, October 27th, the Beckham County OSU Extension Office will be hosting a CEU Zoom conference at Beckham County Activity Center, Fair Barn, in Sayre. Two sessions will be available. The morning session will concentrate on managing grassy weeds and wheat from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., while the afternoon session will concentrate on weed management and pasture from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Each meeting will provide three CEUs in Category 1A for certified pesticide applicators. Contact Mr. Hartman or contact your Beckham County Co-op Extension Service for more information at 928-2139. And I was looking over the breakdowns for weed management. They got some pretty good guys going to be there giving these deals, 20, 30-minute segments. So be sure and get over there. It's going to be kind of a day where I know everybody's trying to get wheat and rye and everything planted, but if you need CEUs, it'd be a great opportunity to do it. Also, this is for everybody in my listening area on the Oklahoma State's line side of it. Oklahoma State University's Pesticide Safety Education Program is partnering up with the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, Food, and Forestry to host two unwanted pesticide disposal days in Woodward on November 16th and in Muskogee on November 17th. The Oklahoma Unwanted Pesticide Disposal Program events will take place from 8 a.m. to 1 o'clock at Woodward Fair County Fairgrounds at 108 Temple Houston Drive in Woodward. and the Muskogee County Fairgrounds at 1440 South Cherokee in Muskogee. Farmers, ranchers, applicators, pesticide dealers, and homeowners may bring up to 2,000 pounds of pesticides to drop off sites for proper disposal at no charge. If you got something stored up in a barn and need to get rid of it, or it's mixed up or wrong buckets, is a great opportunity to get rid of it properly. An additional fee will be acquired to you if bringing more than 2,000 pounds. But the first 2,000 pounds of pesticides will be free. So anyway, this would be a great opportunity to get rid of some of this stuff. Anyway, check it out. If any questions about this, contact your extension office there in your county, because Woodward will be the drop-off for the panhandle in most of western Oklahoma. How's that? Anyway, you guys have a great day. Thank you, Cassandra, for coming in from the North Fork of the Red River Conservation District, talking about the Ag in the Classroom. Appreciate it. Great program. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.